This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Pamela Suzette Greer played the first black heroine on the big screen in the 1973 film Coffee.
My name's Coffin. This is the end of your rotten life, you dope pusher.
That movie marked the first time an African-American woman headlined an action film. Before Coffee, black actresses were boxed into archetypical roles like the Mammy or the Tragic Mulatto. Her daring black heroine set standards for actresses for decades to come. Pam Grier's journey to Hollywood started in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She was born there in 1949, and on today's show, we're going to celebrate her contributions to cinema with an examination of her pioneering roles in film. Dale Pollack is a film producer and a teacher at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts in Winston-Salem. He teaches a seminar on the history of black cinema. Pollack is also on the board of directors of the International Film Festival River Run, where in 2008 he awarded Pam Grier the Master of Cinema Award. Dale Pollack, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Frank.
So give us a scene. Give us the scene. Movies in the 1970s. That's when Pam Grier makes the scene. What was it like?
Well, you know, there had been only one kind of black person shown on screen, and that was inevitably a servant, a domestic, or someone who was working somewhere. And all of a sudden, in the late 60s and early 70s, we saw this explosion of African-American-themed and centered films. Eventually, that movement became known as Blaxploitation, which is actually a pretty accurate title for it, because these were almost all exploitation films dealing with drugs, crime, the seamy side of life. But what they did was open up an enormous vista for African-American performers who finally had lead roles where they were not playing the cleaning man, the maid, or the cook.
And so Coffee is the first film that Greer played a lead, got a lead role in. Give us some background on that. Tell us about the plot a little bit.
Well, the plot is basically she's a middle-class nurse whose sister has become addicted to heroin and other hard drugs, and she blames the dealers for doing this, and she goes out for revenge. And it takes her right up to the top of the corrupt mayor's administration, and she achieves her goal in a rather bloody fashion.
All right, let's hear a clip from Coffee and kind of illustrate what you're talking about.
What do you want with me?
My name's Coffin. LaBelle Coffin is my little sister.
LaBelle?
Shooting smack at 11, and you got her out of your dirty shame.
Please. Please.
Her whole life is gone. She can never get it back. And you're living real good. That ain't right. It ain't right. So go on and take the shot.
I can't. That'll kill me.
Maybe it will and maybe it won't. But if it do, you're going to fly through them pearly gates with the biggest smile St. Peter ever seen.
No, no. I don't even remember your little sister. No. No.
There we go. A scene from Coffee where Pam Grier is out to avenge the loss of her sister. And in a lot of ways, this is the sort of wish fulfillment genre that we see, you know, for instance, Dirty Harry and that whole series. I mean, it's that kind of a film, isn't it?
Well, it is kind of a vigilante film. Death Wish was another popular film from that era. But this was different because this was an African-American female protagonist taking it to the man. And that had never been seen before in American cinema. It was a completely new phenomenon.
And certainly it was men making these films. It wasn't as though women actually had control of these films.
No, all these films were written and directed and produced by men. Of course, AIP was a very exploitation-directed studio in those days, and that's where she did Coffee and her subsequent films, Foxy Brown and Sheba Baby, all of which are pretty famous in this genre of female blaxploitation.
And tell us about Foxy Brown. Was that just an extension of Coffee, or did it move that role in a different direction?
No, it's kind of an extension of Coffee. She plays a slightly more sophisticated character, and she's a little less down in the dirt in terms of going after the guys who she's seeking revenge on yet again. The plots were pretty similar in these films. But, you know, Coffee is the one that really introduced this tall, extremely physical, gorgeous woman who was not afraid to use all of her assets in these movies.
And I think, is that what sets her apart as a woman? Because there certainly were a lot of women in those films, but her role was simply different.
Yeah, her role was different. I mean, there were other action, black female action stars like Tamara Dobson and Gloria Hendry, but nobody had the kind of vitality that Pam Grier brought to these roles. You really believed her in the part of Coffee or Foxy Brown.
And how about the fact that you said she is beautiful, a tall actress, gorgeous on the screen? What was the response to her as a kind of icon of black female sexuality?
Well, she became, of course, the poster child for every, I think every black male had a poster of Pam Grier in his bedroom at one point or another. But the interesting part of it is the fact that she acted as an empowerment role for black women. Here was a strong, vital character who was not afraid to take matters into her own hands and was not dependent on a man to do the work for her. She packed up her gun and went after the drug kingpins herself. She didn't ask her boyfriend to do it for her. And this was really unusual for black women to be so forward and direct and take action, and I think it had a big impact on the consciousness of young African women at the time.
You know much about her roots in North Carolina, growing up
in Wisconsin? Well, yeah, she was an Army brat, so she happened to be born here while her father, who was a sergeant in the Air Force, was stationed here. And then she sort of lived all over the country and actually moved abroad, lived in England for a while, and finally ended up in Denver, Colorado, where she graduated from high school.
What sparked your interest in Pam Grier?
Well, I was interested in exploring the role of African Americans in American cinema and how it really changed at this dramatic moment in the late 60s and early 70s to one of stereotypical depiction to all of a sudden one of being able to create your own characters. And, you know, whether it was Melvin Van Peebles or Gordon Parks, all of a sudden you had black directors behind the camera for the first time in American history, and that had a big impact on cinema of the 1970s.
So, and do you think it had a lasting effect, or was it a kind of, because it was certainly a one-of-a-kind genre, blaxploitation.
It was, and it pretty much died out by the early 80s, but the legacy of it has continued. And indeed, it's what motivated Quentin Tarantino to make the film that revived Pam Grier's career, Jackie Brown.
And that was 1997.
Right. And it really gave her a whole new lease on life, put her back into the spotlight, and out of that she ended up doing The L Word and a number of other films where she has played more substantial characters than she was able to do in the late 80s and early 90s.
The L Word, a Showtime series in the 2000s. Let's get a clip from that.
Kit!
Go away!
Come on.
I don't want to see you!
I'll try.
Kid, it's me.
You protected him. You protected him when you knew he was lying and cheating.
Kid, I wasn't protecting him. I was protecting you. I didn't want you to get hurt. That's why I told him. I told him that he should break it up.
You told him?
Pam Grier in the Showtime series, The L Word. Dale, is it surprising that someone who cast, who created this role of the femme fatale, a beautiful woman, it was her looks and power, who can survive that long and age gracefully and still be a good actress getting good roles decades later?
I think The L Word shows what a good actress she actually is. Because now this is not about busting into a house with a shotgun or taking off her top and engaging in a cat fight like she does in Coffee. This is about really acting and inhabiting a character. And I think we've seen in a number of roles she's done, in films as diverse as Mars Attacks, The L Word. She had a recurring role on Smallville for a while, and she did some work on Law & Order, SVU. So she has really showed her diversity and her versatility as an actress. It's not about being a black action queen anymore.
And kind of what brought her back was Tarantino in 97 with Jackie Brown. Tell
Absolutely.
Us about that film and that role and why he was interested in her after all those
well,
years.
Well, I think his consciousness was shaped by films like Coffee. He's, of course, a big proponent of what he calls grindhouse cinema, the kind of films that used to play double bills at the cheap theaters that our parents never wanted us to go to. And he did really Jackie Brown as an homage to her. The film is structured around her character, and she is central to it. And I think this was really Quentin Tarantino on behalf of an entire generation of movie fans and movie directors who grew up on these films, paying tribute to an iconic black actress.
You've had a chance to meet her. What sort of things does she have to say about her own legacy?
She's very deprecating. She really doesn't, you know, she remembers Roger Corman saying to her, "I want to put you in movies." And she said, "Roger, I don't know how to act." And he said, "You'll learn because you're bright and you can pick it up as you go along." And she says that's exactly what she did. She never took formal acting lessons. She did participate in some stage work when she was in college. But other than that, she was a novice, and she just really took to the screen. There's some people the camera loves, and the camera loves Pam Grier.
Dale, thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Dale Pollack is a film professor at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts and a member of the River Run Film Festival's Board of Directors. Just ahead, we're going to discuss Sam Greenlee's classic novel and film, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. Stay with us on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.